Support for this Public Radio Tulsa podcast is provided by Chamber Music Tulsa, who brings the world of chamber music to Tulsa in live and streaming performances and educational outreaches. For more information, visit chambermusictulsa.org. Inspired by Czech folk songs and dances, Antonín Dvořák made it his life's mission to create a distinctive musical style for his native Bohemia. When he came to the United States in the 1890s, he found another country lacking its own musical language, so he drew upon what he considered to be the most distinctive music of the Americas, and black spirituals in particular, to produce his version of an American concert music. Next to his New World Symphony, his most enduring work in that style is a string quartet we've come to call The American. It's Dvorak's American String Quartet, Opus 96, in 10 minutes or less. I'm Jason Heilman. By the late 19th century, a newly affluent United States was finally beginning to step out of the cultural shadow of Europe. In the realm of music, that meant the creation of new institutions like the New York Philharmonic, the Boston Symphony Orchestra, and the Metropolitan Opera. Yet despite these achievements, there was still one area where the New World lagged considerably behind the old: music education. Young American musicians and composers still had to travel to Europe to receive their musical training, if they could afford it. But one pioneering American woman sought to change all that: the New York socialite and philanthropist Jeanette Myers Thurber. As a teenager, Thurber had studied at the Paris Conservatory, and the experience of France's national music education system made a profound impression. In 1885, she realized her longtime dream and founded the National Conservatory of Music of America. But as her plans for the conservatory became even more ambitious, Thurber realized she needed a major international figure to serve as the conservatory's director. In 1892, she invited Czech composer Antonín Dvořák to come to America and take on the job. By then 50 years old, Dvořák was at what he thought was the height of his career. Following in the footsteps of his mentor, composer Bedřich Smetana, Dvořák had sought to create a Czech national style in his music. But he hardly ever incorporated any recognizable Czech folk songs. Instead, Dvořák created new melodies with a distinctly Czech flavor, then developed them in large-scale works with all the musical rigor of his other mentor, Johannes Brahms. When he arrived in New York, Dvořák found another country that was struggling to define itself musically. So he used his particular skill set to propose his idea of an American musical style. He looked for sources in the folk and popular music of the time, but he ended up dismissing most of them as shallow imitations of European music. Instead, for Dvořák, the only musical styles he considered uniquely American were the black spirituals he'd learned from his National Conservatory student Harry Burley, and the Native American songs he encountered at Wild West shows. In the spring of 1893, Dvořák incorporated all of those sounds into his first major American work, a symphony that Jeanette Thurber nicknamed From the New World. This theme from the second movement of the New World Symphony mimicked the sounds of black American music so well that many people assume it was a pre-existing spiritual. It's not. Dvořák wrote this melody himself, and it only became the hymn Goin' Home when words were added 30 years later. Although he was creatively energized by his time in New York, Dvořák still missed the familiar comforts of his native Bohemia. He was elated when he learned about a small frontier community of Czech immigrants in the town of Spillville, Iowa. In the summer of 1893, he and his family spent several weeks there, which gave him the chance to see a different side of America. It was during his summer in Spillville that Dvořák composed his second New World piece, a string quartet that would become his most popular chamber work. Set in the pastoral key of F major, Dvořák's 12th string quartet opens with a theme introduced by the viola that evokes the excitement of a wide-open frontier, something that would have been strange and wondrous to a European like Dvořák. ¶¶ One musical characteristic of that melody is if you transposed it up half a step, you could play it using just the black keys of the piano keyboard. Since that adds up to 5 distinct notes, we call that a pentatonic scale. And although we tend to associate it with cowboy songs, it's actually common in folk music around the world, including Dvorak's native Bohemia. This was followed by a much more lyrical second theme introduced by the solo violin, and elements of those two themes are broken apart and put together in clever ways before returning intact to bring the first movement to a close. The slow second movement has a distinctive yearning character, dominated by a plaintive pentatonic melody in the first violin. Some musicologists think that this melody was influenced by a spiritual or by a Native American song Dvorak might have heard outside of Spillville, but no conclusive proof has ever been found. The mood, however, evokes the same loneliness Dvorak captured in A Letter Back to Prague when he said, quote, "It's strange here, few people and many empty spaces. A farmer might be separated from his neighbor by perhaps 4 miles, particularly in the prairies, nothing but huge tracts of land and fields." The third movement dispels that loneliness with a lively scherzo, which also happens to contain the only definitive American melody in the quartet. Listen closely to the violin in this excerpt. That very high filigree at the end is similar to a bird song that Dvorak notated on a piece of scratch paper during his time in Spillville. Apparently, a scarlet tanager had taken up residence outside Dvorak's window, and his incessant song became immortalized in this quartet. The finale brings back the energy of the first movement, this time with a chugging pentatonic dance theme that almost seems to recall a steam locomotive. That energy is twice interrupted by more reflective music, but both times the opening theme comes back to drive the movement to a jubilant finish. We know the 12th string quartet today as the American, but Dvorak didn't give it that nickname. In fact, for the first few decades after its 1894 premiere, the piece was widely known as the Negro Quartet. This might not have been far from the composer's own intentions. Talking to an American music critic, Dvorak once said that, quote, "In the Negro melodies of America, I discover all that is needed for a great and noble school of music," unquote. Other American composers in the 1890s weren't interested in following Dvorak's advice, but fast forward half a century, and the distinct sounds of this quartet served as the basis for the iconic Western film scores by other immigrant composers like Dmitri Tiomkin and Max Steiner. It just proves that sometimes you need an outside perspective to recognize the value of what you have at home. Was Antonin Dvorak's String Quartet No. 12 in F Major, Opus 96, in 10 minutes or less. For Public Radio Tulsa's Classical Tulsa, I'm Jason Heilman. Thanks for listening.